light? What is it with light? What is it with my obsession with light? And maybe it's not just me. Maybe it's preachers everywhere. Maybe it's the church. Maybe we have an obsession with light. Have you noticed that? I mean, like I said, we just marched through 4 weeks, and every week we would light a new candle, and I would talk to the kids about light. And it was all moving towards Christmas Eve, and we gathered, many of us gathered on Christmas Eve, and we each held a little candle, and we lit candles in the dark and celebrated the coming of light. And some of you, because of something stupid the pastor might have said, might have even actually tried to take that all the way home in your car. Did anybody do that? Good. I think one of the young kids actually had one going, so I hope they made it. Come to think of it, we haven't seen them since. But we gather in the darkest nights of winter, and we light candles, and we talk about light. And the liturgical calendar of our faith seems to just always sort of orient towards light. And then when Lent gets here, Lent actually gets its name from an old English word, lengthen, I think, which means lengthen. It's as the days are lengthening. So even the season of Lent is tied to the solar calendar and the lengthening of the days, the gradual march towards that day in spring when we can celebrate resurrection and new life. What is it about the light? Maybe it's just in our bones, and it's, you know, it's an old thing, right? I mean, the prophet Isaiah was 500 years B.C. This poet Hafiz, who was offered our opening words, he was from the 14th century, right? I love these words. I wish I could tell you, when you were in darkness or alone, the astonishing light of your own being. I wish I could show you, when you are lonely or in darkness, the astonishing light of your own being. I think poets and prophets and people of faith have known for a long time that we are light. And so when the prophet Isaiah says something like, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." I wonder if he really meant that. You know, one of my struggles with Scripture is I think sometimes the Bible says things literally, and we interpret them metaphorically. And more importantly, and probably what happens more often, is the Bible speaks metaphorically and we take it literally, right? These two things, you know, how do you know when the Bible is saying literally, your light has come? Or is it a metaphor that this person, this babe that was born in a manger, is going to enlighten us? He's going to open our eyes. He's going to remove the veil of deception and lies and the falsehoods within which we live, the dishonesty that is at our core of who we are sometimes. But he's going to unveil that, and he's going to show us, like Hafiz says, the astonishing light of our own being. Because even though we're saying, "I am the light of the world," that is one saying of Jesus. But you know another one he said about light? Who's really the light of the world? He said, "You are the light of the world." Right? I mean, once in John's gospel, he said, "I am the light of the world." But in all the other three gospels, he said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your God in heaven." Matthew 5 something. Look it up. Don't hold me to that. Matthew 5 something. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. Figuratively? Literally? Metaphorically? Well, scientists, you know, have told us today that our bodies, we're like, you know, we're mostly energy, right? All of us. When they break all this stuff down to the molecular level, it's still just photons and neutrons and electrons all sort of firing around and supposedly sort of orbiting one another that creates this mass, this substance that we are. But they tell us, you know, we are mostly energy. Literally, We are light. And you know what they say about energy? Another thing they say about energy, you can change it, but you cannot destroy it, and you can't create it. Energy is only, they call it transmutation. So when we die, there's a certain amount of energy that is in the universe that is Paul Whitmer. And when Paul Whitmer dies, that energy is going to be somewhere else, in some other form. I don't know. And that's why I think the ancients had all these sort of stories about life and resurrection and light / energy and who we are and who we are called to be in the world of substance and hard things and swords and plowshares and how we're supposed to walk this path of being light. Because the darkness is real, right? That's one of the first things I see here. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Remember that word glory. And whenever you hear that biblical word glory, think light. Because the Bible speaks of light as glory. The glory of the Lord is literally shines around. Think of the angels and to the shepherds. The glory of the Lord shone around them. It's light. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory, his light, will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Look, they came. The kings came to the brightness of our dawn. They saw the light. They sensed that there was a change. Right? Have we sensed it? Do we own it? That there's a new way to be in the world that is about light and not darkness? Because I love that it says darkness covered the earth and thick darkness the peoples. It's poetry. It's parallel. You know, there's parallel sentences. He's saying the same thing twice, but with a little bit of different twist. And it's thick darkness that covers up. It's like we're walking through sledge and we're pulling it with us, this darkness. And then the light shines, and we're enabled to be free of it, to shed the darkness. And this next piece is important too. Lift your eyes and look around. Lift up your eyes and look around. There are some days that's hard for me to do. I'd rather just pull the covers over my head, to be quite honest, right? There's a thick darkness in the world sometimes. I don't even want to turn on the TV and hear about the latest shooting, the latest violence that's been wrought close to home, you know, 3 blocks from my house, or on the other side of the country, or on the other side of the world. The darkness is thick. And so it's hard for me to lift up my eyes and look around. But you know what? I am no good if I just stay in my bed and cover my head in the covers. I'm no good to anyone. As a fellow human being, as a Christian trying to walk this path of discipleship, as a citizen of the United States, of a member of this community, I'm no good if I'm not looking around, if I don't lift up my eyes and see what's real and what the real needs are around me. And then respond with the light that has risen. So that's why I need to come to this, the poetry, the songs in the Bible, the teachings of Jesus. I need to come to this almost every day to be reminded, to be inspired, to be enlightened, to have my eyes opened, to be able to have the courage to pull the covers off my head, lift up my eyes, and look around. And part of that is to say out loud what I see. There are people around me who are afraid. They don't have the basic needs of life that they need. There are people struggling with mental health and depression and anxiety, and I need to, you know, make sure they have the services and the care and the dignity that they deserve. There's so many. That's just two that I've just named right there. So, but how do I have the courage to keep getting out of bed and lifting up my head and looking around? Sometimes it's a word of encouragement from the scripture that there is a light. And we read on here in Isaiah, I just love this language in verse 5. You shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. There's a footnote on my word rejoice, and they're uncertain about how to translate the Hebrew. It says in Hebrew, it could be enlarged. Your heart will be enlarged. Think about that. Literally, that sounds like a bad, like a medical condition. What do they call that? It's not good, right? An enlarged heart. Thank you. Danger, real Woe Robinson or whatever. Danger, danger. But from in poetry, in poetic language, speaking metaphorically, like I think it is, it reminds me of Mary, right? What does she say when she opens her mouth to sing? My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul is made big. Or even, I know some translations say, God is made big by my soul. My soul magnifies the Lord, makes God bigger. And this light that makes us radiant, we are radiant. We shall be seen and be radiant. And I love that. It's not just that we will see, but we will be seen. Right? And that's echoed in Jesus. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. It's important that people see you. That there are people lifting their eyes. Their eyes are open. They're not in denial. They're willing to look straight at you and see what's really going on and speak the truth in love and name the injustice that is all around us and be seen and letting that light radiate from us to help bring the comfort to those in pain and distress. That is good news. And so I come back to this wonderful source of wisdom and inspiration and poetry and story and teaching and enlightenment. And I have the courage to lift my eyes and look around, for your light has come. Thanks be to God.